ask a few questions just before we begin our message today. When you think about Christmas, what comes to your mind? This is what we've been dealing with over this season, this year. There are many traditional things which have become predominant in the minds of many in our time. But what is the emphasis of God's word about what Christmas really is? That's what we want to talk about. We've been talking about that this past so many messages. Just how should this most important holiday be thought of based on the truth? How can we cope with the many dark and troublesome situations in this life? Is God really with us when things are unpleasant? Listen to today's message, and in this message I will deal with something that I started on a week or so ago, the most important event that has taken place in the history of creation thus far. And in another lesson we're going to talk about today that I have titled "The Miracle of Christmas Producing Light Out of Darkness Forevermore." Amen. So we're going to read a few verses, one from the Old Covenant in the book of Micah. This is a big book, sometimes not often read, but we find we've been in Micah somewhat here in the past so often. So from Micah chapter 5, and I have for you today the New American Standard translation on the printed handout if you have it. If you don't, just turn to Micah chapter 5, and we're going to look at the first three verses from the NASB. Read with me. "Now muster yourselves in troops, daughter of troops. They have laid siege against us. With a rod they smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel." Amen. That's the Old Covenant scripture to the people of God. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And now from the NASB, from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter number 1, and the 30th through the 35th verse, let's read Luke 1:30. "The angel said unto her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God." You may be seated in the sanctuary. We have read selected verses from Luke chapter number 1. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And we'll use for a topic for this message that same thing we just mentioned: the miracle of Christmas producing light out of darkness forevermore. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we praise you today. We bless you. We thank you for this Christmas season. We thank you for every ear that is under the sound of my voice. Father, we thank you for every home that's represented here. Father, we ask a special blessing for all the children, the young people in the room, Lord God, that you would bless them this year with mighty blessings. Father, everything that they need, give them security and peace, even in times of distress. We pray for wisdom and understanding, Father, as we go forth. We thank you for every home and family that's represented here. Help us to understand a new thing about your word today as we enter into the Christmas season, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise and the glory. And we ask all this to the praise of Jesus Christ, your Son, and it's in his name we pray, and the whole church said together, Amen. Amen. I want you to understand some things, and as we mentioned, the tricks of the enemy are always out there trying to work against you. And part of what you learn when you come to church, if the church is teaching you the Word of God, is you learn how to defend yourself from the tricks of the enemy. And that's very critical, because the devil will have you think something is wrong with your brother or your sister, or something is wrong with your pastor or with your neighbor, or he'll have you looking for faults instead of looking for what did God say. And where do I stand with God? He deals in mental tricks. And he deals in fear and all of that. I received a number of emails over the past week from people who are sending out messages of fear. And I just wondered when I got those. I had mentioned it in Sunday school hour this morning. Where do you people all study fear? And you send messages of fear around to people. But what God sent into the world was a message of hope.
Yes.
He said, I give unto you my son. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the whole epic of the gospel, God giving his son, bringing him into the world in a supernatural manner that no other person has ever come into the world through, like through a virgin birth. We read about that, and then we start to study medicine, and we think about the fact that women do not share the bloodstream with a child, not even today, and that there's no way that the people who wrote this Bible were aware of that. Because the medical science didn't really understand that at the time. But yet God told us in his word, which is finished over 2,000 years ago, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel. And Matthew tells us that means God with us. And he shall be called the Son of the Most High.
Yes.
And all through the Old Testament, we find additions to that story being added by the prophets, all the way from Moses through Malachi, that God's going to send his son. And we find out in Genesis even, we looked at these the past few weeks.
Yep.
You may want to go online and go back and hear the previous messages that will bring you up to where we are today. But he was telling about a son who would come for the purpose of bearing the sin of the whole world. And he tells us that whoever believes in him will not perish.
That's right.
In the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. See, think about that all the time. Whenever you're having a challenge in your mind about where you stand, what you're dealing with, any deficiency in yourself, think about the fact that God so loved the world.
Yes.
That he gave his only begotten son, who is Jesus. That whosoever, that means you, no matter who you are, there are no exclusions. Doesn't mean you have to be a Jew. You can't. Don't have to be a white person. You don't have to be a black person. You don't have to be an Indian, a Mexican. We can start naming all the nationalities of the world. Whoever you are. Whoever you are, if you can hear what I'm saying to you, if you can't hear, if you can read or understand or perceive that God loves you.
That's right.
He gave his son for you, whoever you are. See, we have the most universal message on earth. And people try to say, well, the church is bigoted and they only look out for certain people. And they don't pay any attention to who I am and our beliefs. You know what? Jesus said, I love you no matter who you are.
Yes.
No matter what you have done, I have paid your bill in full. And all you need to do to get saved, which is what God said, the decree from the Most High God, is to believe me. And believe that God raised me from the dead.
Right.
He said, well, how do you stick that from the dead thing in there? Well, you know what? If he didn't get out the grave, he can't save you. So the only reason he can save you is because he did defeat the grave. So the resurrection is an integral part of the Christmas story. Although, let's say on one end of it, this is one end of the Christmas story. On the other end of the Christmas story is Jesus rising from the tomb.
Yes.
Now think about it. We said whoever would satisfy God would have to be completely righteous from the womb to the tomb. Y'all know I like to say that.
Yep.
So, and if you can be righteous and holy yourself from the womb to the tomb, that means from the time you're born to the time you die, do everything perfect, then you can be saved by works. You know what? I checked myself with that. Guess what? I failed. If you can't be perfect from the womb to the tomb, you cannot be saved on your own. One person was perfect. Brother John, is that what we preach? Yes, it is. From the womb
to the tomb.
That's right. Yeah.
Jesus was conceived in holiness.
That's right. Amen.
He lived completely righteously his entire life. And then when he died, since he had done no sin, death could not keep him.
No way.
So after 3 days and nights, according to the scriptures, he rose from the dead. And at that point, we know that he is the only one who has ever satisfied God.
The only one.
Because who else got out of the grave, did we know? History doesn't tell us that anyone rose eternally from the grave.
Nope.
And had they have been able to find that body when Jesus got out of the grave, they would have canceled the whole gospel. There is no gospel without the resurrection. And so we get to the beginning of it now, and I'm taking you all the way through the whole scenario because I want you to understand that God gave him and he was born. Christmas happened so that he could also live a life of spotlessness, satisfy God all the way entirely, and even defeat death, which is the biggest, most troubling thing that you and I deal with in life.
Amen.
We're always worried about that.
Yep.
When other people pass on, we say, oh, we worry about that. It takes us into grief and we suffer because of the loss of loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to know that God doesn't want that worry and that burden to be on your mind.
That's right.
So that's one other reason why Jesus was risen from the dead. But let's get back to what our lesson says here. The prophecy of the coming of the first Christmas is all through the Old Testament, starting with Moses. We looked at some of it last week and in the past few messages. But here's another installment here in the book of Micah. Micah says here in chapter number 5, "Now muster yourselves in troops, daughter of troops," as he speaks to Israel. "They have laid siege against us. With a rod they will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek." Now this is a prophecy of Christ being smitten with a rod at the proper time. Now notice it also detects and delivers to us where Jesus would be born. "But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you one will go forth for me." See that? "To be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." Christ's coming was prophesied very well in the Old Testament. They let you know that this child is going to be born in Bethlehem, which is known as the city of David. Bethlehem Ephratah, that's a very specific designation because there were two places called Bethlehem back in those days. But this particular one is the one in which Jesus was born. It was too little, a small little city, to be among the clans of Judah. It was not counted as a very important place where he was born. "But from you one will go forth for me." See, he's coming, the Son is coming for the Father, it says here. "To be ruler." That's his purpose. His ultimate purpose is to rule. And as a king, you know that?
Yep.
We got that in a lesson or two back in Psalm number 2. Say that God said, "I will set my king up on my holy hill in Zion." See? And so notice this, "His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." So that lets you know who this child is. He's not only a son that is born, as we looked at in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Then it said, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace."
Amen.
All these attributes are about the child that was born, and we call his name Jesus. See, and Matthew tells us that's the prophecy, a fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," Matthew says, which means God with us. So this is God himself becoming flesh, taking on flesh in order to take on the entire human experience. In other words, we said this and we like to make this distinguishment. Adam didn't have the complete human experience. He was created from the dust of the ground. So God said, "I'm going to come in just like everybody else after that." Everybody else after that was born.
Mm-hmm.
They were conceived by a father and a mother. See, and so I'm going to come in that same likeness. Why? So I can go through the whole scenario, the 9 months in the womb, the conception, except that his conception was by the Holy Spirit, not by any man. Otherwise, he would have been a sinner, just like any other man. But he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, who is completely holy. And God had designed a woman, and we talk about this here in St. Timothy frequently,
So that, and even every woman here today does not share the bloodstream with any child that she carries. That's why we say a woman carries a child. And I always challenge people, look that up. If you heard the pastor say it, look it up. Check it out. It's going to bless your soul. Secular books and folks of false religions know that that is a fact. Women do not share the bloodstream with the child. That's where there's afterbirth and the placenta and all of that comes out with the baby. See? And I always ask this question, you know, who study with us frequently. Who do you know that was not born? I don't know anybody that was not born. Do you? Hello, evolutionists. Do you know anyone that was not born?
Nope.
I don't see any monkeys turning into people.
Nope.
I see some people acting like monkeys. But I have never seen any monkeys turn into people. You see, the fact is, people are born. So Jesus must needs be born.
Yes.
So that he could go through the same exact thing we went through. Except his mission is to do that with no sin.
Right.
So think about how, what a situation that is. Doesn't that just challenge your mind to think about the situation? This is what I want you to see, and this is where we're going to get our blessing, hopefully, today, and I can wrap these thoughts up. It was a dark time when Christ was conceived.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he was conceived to a young woman who was engaged to a man.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that, engagement to a man.
Uh-huh.
The idea of engagement. This was arranged by the parents in those days.
Yep.
My son is going to marry your daughter when they get to be of age. They thought about it because they understood how young people think and how young people develop and how young people become mature and how young people become curious about sexual things.
Yep.
So we want our kids to be righteous and pure, so we're going to set it up so they don't even have to worry when that time comes. We're going to apply some adult wisdom to how they develop a family. Plus, God wanted them to marry within their tribes because we have to be a separated people.
Amen.
To God. We look at that today, we go, well, you don't know if I want my mother to pick my husband. I don't believe I want my father to pick my wife. And we find fault with it. But it had a good intention.
Yes.
The intention was to break down the possibilities of sin and illegitimate birth and
That's right.
all those kind of things.
That's right. Amen.
And it worked very beautifully for a long time. But think about the situation Mary was in, where here it is, she's engaged to Joseph. The angel of God comes to her, Gabriel, and says, you're going to be the one God has chosen to bear his son.
Yep.
Boy, that's troubling. How will I get through? She said, how can this be? Seeing I've never known a man.
Never known
a man. That's going to be a problem, look like to me. Wouldn't you think that?
Yeah.
And the angel explained, the power of the Most High will come upon you and overshadow you. Therefore, that child is conceived in your womb shall be called the Son of God. Wow, but look at the darkness around the situation that she would have to deal with. She told it to Joseph, and he says, you what? You say, who? Can you imagine it?
Yeah.
Put yourself in it. What would you do if you were in those shoes? How would you handle it? Where would your mind go? Joseph was broken up.
Mm-hmm.
He thought, boy, you know, she done something and now she in her line. I don't know if he thought that exactly, but he went and wept.
Yes, he did.
The Bible says he went and wept. And he decided in his mind, I'll just put her away privately because I don't even want to go into how I'm feeling. Think about the darkness of that situation.
Yeah.
She was gone for 6 months. Now she come back talking about she's pregnant. And she went down to visit with her cousin Elizabeth, who was with child with John the Baptist.
Yep.
Supernatural intervention by God.
Yep.
Except Zacharias was his dad.
That's right.
You see what I mean? And she came back with the good news, but it was not good news to Joseph. Mm-mm, baby. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit, okay. That's a novel one. Either case, he sat and he wept until he went to sleep, and apparently an angel from the Lord entered into his dream.
That's right, you sure did.
Told him, Joseph, don't fear not to take Mary to be your husband, your wife, because that's what's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Right.
Joseph woke up after that, and he was good with that for the moment. And you know what? And there had already been, but I could have backed you up in Luke, I would have showed you that there was a call for a census to be taken right at that time. Gave him a good excuse. Let me just pack her up and me, and we'll go back to the city of our birth, which is Bethlehem. And nobody will know. And I wanted to kind of take the embarrassment and the shame off of her anyway. I can get you out of town, and then maybe this thing will pass. Darkness all around that thing.
Yes.
But was there anything dark going on?
No.
Nope. God had planned it.
God did it.
It was his plan to bring his son into the world. Now, just with that little scenario, think about some of the other people that we've talked about recently. Think about Ruth and how she came to the family. Naomi went down into a foreign country. We talked about this. I can't tell y'all a lot about it. But just look at the darkness. There was a famine in the land of promise. Her husband makes a decision. Let's go down to Moab. Not supposed to be down there. It's a land where Gentiles are.
That's right.
They're cursed by God.
They were.
And so we can't go down there, but she couldn't speak her voice on it. Being a woman, she went with her husband. And you know what? He died. Remember that?
Sure did.
Her two sons also went. They married Moabite women.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know the story, but look at the darkness in that. I just want you to think about the darkness in some of these stories. What seems dark, this is where I'm going. We can talk about a lot of them. I just give you a little bit. Y'all know about those stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
Came back, turns out Ruth married into the family,
yeah.
And a kinsman redeemer restored the name,
yeah,
that had been lost when the sons had died and the husband had died.
Mm-hmm.
But she was bitter. She said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because I'm bitter."
Mm-hmm.
Bitterness and darkness all around that thing. But guess who was in the middle of it? God was in the middle of it.
Yes, he was.
Pick anybody you want. Joseph, your brothers hate you. They wanted to kill you, but they decided to throw you in a pit. And take your coat and kill an animal, put the blood on it, and send it back to your father and tell him he's dead. An animal ate him. Here's the residue. That coat you gave him, but you didn't give us none. Jealousy and bitterness.
Yes.
Darkness all around that thing.
All around.
He ends up being sold into slavery and ends up in Egypt.
Yep.
But that was the salvation of the people.
Yes, it was.
Now, what am I trying to get you to see with these stories? We can pick anyone. Samson. Just pick somebody. Look at the ugliness of how his life was and all the stuff that went on. How about Abel? I'm just minding my business. I know God wants an animal sacrifice, and then my brother hates on me and kills him in the field.
Yes.
Darkness. All around that thing. But the fact was, God was in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you now this morning, church, what kind of darkness is going on around your life? What kind of stuff do you see that looks way out of order? Stuff that it looks like, boy, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Trouble and difficulty in your mind about my circumstances and what am I going to do tomorrow when this or that takes place? What can I do today about what happened over here yesterday? See, that's the thing I want you to see. And the interesting thing is that from the very beginning, as God created the heavens and the earth, think about this now. The scriptures tell us that there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And after this, the Spirit of God moved and hovered gently upon the surface of the waters. And he was over that void, that the earth was formless and void on the planet. And the whole earth system was unstable, but the Spirit of God moved up on the surface of the void, thus forming the planet, which is earth, into a system suitable to be the background for all the coming affairs of the pinnacle of God's creation, which is man made in his own image. Just as he spoke, let there be light.
Amen.
And there was light.
Yeah.
See, so when there was darkness and it was there first, God said, let there be light.
My Lord.
In your life, whatever you're dealing with, whatever darkness it is, you know what I want to say to you today? Trust God with it. Trust Him with it. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what the outcome is going to be. He loves you and He's going to take you through. There's always been some darkness that God dealt with. But you know what? He gave light power over the darkness. If we shut out every light in the room, it would be dark in here.
And all I have to do is light one candle, and the darkness has got to go. See what I'm saying? So God has given light authority over darkness, and that's just a way of saying, metaphorically, He knows what you're going through. And He said, I'm going to shine the light of truth into your heart so that you can bear whatever it is you're dealing with. Look at those people in the Word. They're good witnesses about what we're talking about. When you are saved, you become a walking miracle because God is working everything, good, bad, even ugly, for your good. And there's nothing that can prevent His purpose for your life. Not the devil, not the world, not your own flesh can stop the actions of grace that God has determined to be upon your life. Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Think about it. If God is on your side, this stuff doesn't stand a chance. He says, lo, I am with you always, God said, even to the end of the world. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, so whatever you're going through, it doesn't make a difference. Paul was in a shipwreck. They start throwing out the cargo. Oh, we got to light this thing up or we going down. And they wanted to jump out themselves. Paul said, unless we abide in the ship, no life shall be saved. Got a word from God. They stayed in the ship. Guess what? Every one of them went into the coast on broken pieces. The ship was broken up. Everything else was lost. But every life was saved. Why? Because they listened to God. In the middle of a dark situation, they held on to the truth that God had given them. So whatever you're dealing with, hold on to where you are. It might look adverse. It might look like it's consuming. But God says, I got you. You trust my son, I got you. That's why when all these doomsayers sent me these evil YouTube things to look at over the weekend, I'm thinking, boy, well, you know, you almost not read the Bible. You telling me all about what the Bible says, all these foreign rulers are going to come in and they'll shoot a bomb over America and the people are going to be in distress and you better have your kit and all your stuff, dig your bomb shelter, all ruined. Boy, that's really dark.
Wow.
I was thinking to myself, I wonder are y'all coming to church tomorrow. You know what? I don't see them. They didn't come. So you think you're going to get yourself out of trouble if there's some trouble happening. You know what? I don't believe that. Jesus said, not one hair upon your head will in any wise perish.
That's right.
If you're my child. See?
Lord.
You know what? He said, I'll keep you from the hour of testing. If you trust in me and believe me. You know what he said? The kings of the earth that you worried about, you telling me all about Assad and Putin and all them folks. He said, y'all better bow to my son, who is the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords, kiss the son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. That's what it says in my Bible. Putin, y'all need to repent. I'm going to say it right now, Trump, if you ain't right, you better repent. You better get in Christ because he's the only one that can save you.
Amen.
You don't have no bombs that can save you. You haven't seen the bomb until you see the one God is going to unleash on you if you don't trust his son. Same thing I tell the evolutionists. Y'all talking about the black, okay, everything came out of a black hole. Wait till you see the one you're going to without Jesus. You think that was something. So the entire biblical record shows us that the saved are always going on through every aversive situation and that God has selected them specifically for their purpose. Do you know if you're called, it's according to God's purpose? The scripture says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Those whom he called, these he also justified. Them he justified, these he also glorified. See, you've been called, predestined, and you have a purpose if you belong to Christ. You will not leave here until your purpose has been taken care of. Nothing can take you away because God is the one who ordained it. Just like the stuff, think about Joseph and that all looked very dark. But it turned out that they were, actually God adopted them to be the parents of his son.
Amen.
Wonderful thing. And Jesus was delivered even though they didn't understand. They had a lot of misunderstanding along the way. So you are specifically called for your purpose and that you will always do what they are intended to do and you will not be hindered. See, his ultimate will can never be hindered. God's ultimate will for you can never be hindered. Therefore, plan
And in this coming Christmas season, and in the coming week going into the new year, to walk fearlessly in hot pursuit of the very closest walk with Jesus that you could possibly have, knowing that God, His Father, will carry you through every trial successfully.
Thank you. Yeah.
Whatever you're going through, He will bring you through successfully.
Amen.
To announce this right now, and I'll be done. I just want to say, we started off talking about we're going to have a year without fear. Does anybody remember that?
Yep.
You know what? How much stuff scared the daylights out of you?
We ain't
going to
talk about that.
But you know what, though? How many of you are here?
Amen.
How much of it took you out? None of it. How much more praise do you have in your spirit for God? He brought you through. Nothing had happened. It was all scary when I'm going through. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. But you're still here. You know what? He's prepping you for another year. Next year, we're going to move out a little further into His glory. Amen. So I hope you remember that He loves you just like you are. So this is what I wanted to say to you, and I guess I'm done. I just want to let you know that if you're not saved, this is a good time to be saved.
Yes, it is.
Because God loves you just like you are. You've already heard the message. He gave His Son for you.
Yes.
It took me a while to get that.
Yes, thank you.
I said, yeah, well, He must not know me. Yeah, that's somebody else. Not me. You don't know what I do. You don't know the kind of stuff in my mind. You don't know what kind of things I'm thinking. You don't know all the stuff I did. Then I thought about that for a minute and thought how stupid that was. Yeah, you do. You are God, aren't you?
Right. Amen.
And you gave your Son for me?
Yes.
You know what? I kept hearing messages until I said, that's for me.
Yeah.
I need that.
Yeah.
It took me a while, though, but He made sure every day I heard something that made me say, that's for me. I need Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And then I got into Him. I understood His love. He loves you just like you are. He knows all of your mess. He loves you anyway.
Yes, thank you, God.
And He's the only one can fix it.
Yes, mm-hmm.
He's been fixing my mess for a long time.
Yes.
And then you know what? Along the way, you read a little more. You go, well, here's some more mess. I didn't know I had. But that's how the Word is.
Yeah.
The Word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path.
Yes.
Why? Because you're still walking in the world. You're still going. You need a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path.
Thank you.
And God says, I'm going to show you. If you trust in me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge me, I'll direct your path. I'll show you how to take the next step. What to do next. How to fix this. How to fix that. How not to let this worry you. How not to let that bother you. How not to let these people be on your back. Or how to make these people over here do what they're supposed to do.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm the one who can do that. And in the middle of it all, I give you peace.
Yes.
You know why you can trust me? I gave my Son up front to seal the deal.
Amen.
How can you trust Him? He got out the grave. Who else you know who did that?
Hallelujah!
So just trust Him today.
Amen.
Let me ask everybody to stand. Amen. We're just going to say a word of prayer. Father, we have heard the gospel that you have loved us no matter how we are. And if there's nothing we can do to make ourselves right in your sight. And we also heard that you have done everything necessary for us to be right in your sight. You gave your Son Jesus who satisfied you. You said He is the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He got between us and you in order to block all our sins. All you could see was Him. And you said if we trust Him, then we shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You said those who try to come any other way come as a thief and a robber.
Mm-hmm.
And they will in no wise enter into your kingdom. But Father, we come in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And we ask you to bless us, cover us, protect us.
Yes.
Give us faith to believe in Him. Open up our blinded eyes that we can see more in your word. And use us for your service.
Somebody's coming asking for salvation right now, whether it be a young person, an old person, whoever it is. We believe you. We accept your free gift. A lot of gifts are going to be coming this year, maybe none for Christmas. But you have given the best gift. Your own son. We accept that gift right now. Fill us with your spirit. That's another gift. And lead us and guide us to all truth, Lord God, in order that we might be the men and women, boys and girls that you're calling for in these last and evil days. Let our minds be focused on your situation, what you want done in the world. Your mission, Lord God. You said as we go, teach all the nations. Bless us all as we go out in our deportment to share this good news with everybody. But we thank you that you gave it to me right now, God, each of us. We thank you for your word, the gospel. It's the best news we ever heard that you gave the son so you could accept somebody like me.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And you raised him from the dead so I can be sure that my sins have been forgiven.
Thank you.
And I give you praise and give you honor, give you glory. Save anyone asking you to be their Savior right now. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Church, say it together.
Amen.
Amen. God, praise.
Amen. So we hope you got a good word from the message today. And if